Welcome to the Week 11 edition of the Bird's Eye View podcast. I'm Zach Berman, Eagles beat writer from the Philadelphia Inquirer, with you here after another Eagles win. They're back to 5-5. Nick Foles continues his hot play, 16 touchdowns this season, zero interceptions. And all of a sudden, with six games remaining, there's discussion about the playoffs. The NFC East is the weakest division in the NFL this season, and the Eagles find themselves atop the division, tied with the Dallas Cowboys, despite a 500 record. They host Washington on Sunday for a chance to get a winning record and a division lead. We'll talk, as we do each week, with my fellow Inquirer beat writer Jeff McClain. You'll hear from Chip Kelly, from NFL leading rusher LeSean McCoy, and also from middle linebacker D'Amico Ryans, who is off to an impressive start to the 2013 season. So there's much to discuss in this week's show. Let's get started. Here's my talk with Jeff McClain. Joined now, as we are each week, with my fellow Inquirer beat writer Jeff McClain. And Jeff, we saw for the second consecutive week Nick Foles put on an impressive performance. Not as impressive as the week before, but the Eagles are 2-0 since he's recovered from the concussion. He has 16 touchdowns this year, zero interceptions. He hasn't proven yet that he's the quarterback of the future, but do you think he's shown enough to Chip Kelly to at least be the quarterback of the season?
I do. I mean, if you couple that with the fact that, you know, Michael's contract is expiring and, you know, he has been injury prone, as we all well know, and, you know, you look at Nick's potential to be that future guy, and I think it just kind of becomes a no-brainer. And most important, I think probably he'll probably give you the best chance to win. I've said repeatedly that I think Michael is better suited for this offense, but in light of the injuries, I think you just got to stick with Nick. I know he had the concussion, but I think over the long haul, he'll probably be more durable. And with the team, where the team's playing right now, you kind of don't want to destroy a hot thing.
And though I've been fascinated all along by how Mike Vick would respond to this. He was really, I mean, not just a good player, but a good leader during the offseason, during training camp. The Riley Cooper situation was an example of that. But he was also gunning for the starting job or in the starting job. I was curious how he'd respond if there was a situation where Nick Foles would be the starting quarterback. You had the chance to talk to him, have an honest conversation. How do you think his mentality is right now?
Yeah, you know, I was impressed with the way that Mike handled my questions. This was on Tuesday, and he didn't come out and say it, but I think he's resigned to the fact that he's now the backup. I think he understands where things are, you know, in light of his contract, et cetera, the way Nick's playing. But he wants to start. I think he wants to play. He's very confident in his abilities. He said as much when I spoke to him. And he's, you know, he wants to have an opportunity to show other teams what he can do because, again, he's got a 1-year contract and he's 33 years old. He wants to keep playing. But that being said, I think he does realize that Chip's probably going in this direction and he can't come out and be about himself. And Mike's never really been that kind of guy. I think he's been a good teammate for most of his career here in Philadelphia. And also, maybe in the back of his mind, he's thinking the other teams are watching what he's doing, and he can't come out and be a squeaky wheel because that just wouldn't look right. The team's winning right now, and there's really nothing he could say about that. If they weren't playing well, and Nick wasn't playing well, and they were losing, then he'd have an argument. But right now, his argument is kind of weak.
Now, all the time and attention that we devote to the quarterback situation, and it's deserved. It's the most important position on the field. But this defense over the past 4 weeks really has really impressed. They're keeping opponents to under 17 points in that span. We can look at it and say they played Scott Tolzien last week in Green Bay, but this streak's included games against Tony Romo, games against Eli Manning, where it wasn't the defense that was the issue. I was very skeptical of this unit going into the season, during the season. I was skeptical of the Bill Davis hire, but I got to say I'm impressed with the group at large, the defensive line in particular, and then D'Amico Ryans in the middle.
Yeah, I mean they've played well over this last month plus, and they've shown improvement for the most part. And I think that's what you wanted to see out of this unit coming in to this season. You knew it wasn't going to be good early on, and Bill Davis pretty much said as much. But he promised that there would be improvement. He stood up there on that podium after that
that's
Denver
right,
game
yep.
when they looked pretty bad, and he said, "You know, trust me on this. We're going to get better," and they've gotten better. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. You did point out that they did play some pretty good quarterbacks, but I'm still not completely sold. And when Scott Tolzien throws nearly 300 yards on you in three quarters of play, there's a problem with the pass defense.
Yep.
I think up front, as you mentioned, they've been very good against the run, but the pass rush has been kind of inconsistent. And the secondary, while it's been better, I still worry about what's going to happen when they face a really good quarterback. I think RG3 has the potential certainly to light them up. I don't know if that'll happen, and I think I haven't picked yet for this game, but I just think that the Redskins defense is so bad the Eagles probably outscore whatever RG3 and the Redskins offense does on that side of the ball. But they still have a few good quarterbacks here. Matt Stafford, we know what that offense can do with Detroit. If Jay Cutler, if he's healthy, and then Romo again, they'll probably get a break against Minnesota and against Arizona Cardinals, but I'm still not completely sold yet.
I'm not either. And the one thing I look at with the defense that's really missing is the edge rusher. Trent Cole has not been the edge rusher. Connor Barwin, I think, has had a solid season, but he's in pass coverage a lot. They use Vinnie Curry in a situational role, but going into this offseason, I would think that finding that elite or really dangerous outside linebacker to rush the passer around the edge needs to be the top priority on this defense. I know they need safeties. They still need help with cornerback. But would you agree that outside linebacker is really the hole here at this point?
Yeah, 100%. When you look at this defense, that's the number one hole. Barwin's a nice player, but he's not he's not a powerful pass rusher. He can get there, and he has gotten there. He's really smart. He's been effective when he doesn't get there batting down passes. I think he's batted down five this year, which is, second in the NFL for outside linebackers or defensive ends. So he's done a very good job there. But he's not this guy that I think, DeMarcus Ware type ability. And then, it'll take a while for the Eagles probably to draft a guy and develop a guy to be that good. And maybe they'll never get anyone that good, but they got to get someone better than what they've had right now. I think Trent Cole probably won't be back next year, and he really kind of hasn't been an edge rusher. Not always because he hasn't gotten there, but some of it's just because they played a lot at that five technique defensive end spot where you're really more responsible at taking up blockers and, as opposed to getting after the quarterback. But, in the draft, I think a lot of us thought – well, I didn't actually think this, but you did Zach, you thought they'd take Deion Jordan,
yep.
Former Oregon player, and I think that's a guy that they probably would have taken, now looking back upon it, if the Dolphins didn't. So they probably knew that they needed someone like that, and then I think I agree with you, it'll probably be a priority this offseason. But probably maybe someone in the free agency, not a big guy, in terms of money, but someone that they could put in there that'll hold the spot for wherever they draft.
And so we look at the defense. I know it's not completely stout, but it is respectable compared to what it was earlier in the year. Nick Foles might come back down to earth, but he might find a place in the middle where he continues to be highly productive. This division, as Redskins linebacker London Fletcher said today, is not very good. The two top teams are 5-5. There are 3-6 teams that are also not out of contention. Do you view the Eagles as a legitimate contender to win the NFC East at this point, or do you think this is going to crash pretty hard?
That's pretty funny what London said. He put the Redskins last.
Yeah.
But he's been around, right? He knows.
16
he knows
years, yeah.
About. Yeah. The more and more you think about it, the more and more you think that maybe they haven't done the best team in the NFC East, which in some ways isn't saying much because, it's not a good division. It's probably the worst division. Everyone, I think, knew that going into the season. But they might as well be the best of a bad lot than the worst of a good lot, I would say, because that'll get them in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
And I think you can't rule it out. I haven't really kind of looked exactly at the Cowboys' schedule. I'm sure you have, Zach. But, I think if they go 4-2, that should be enough, right? That's 9-7, and you'll probably have to beat the Cowboys in that last game. But I think that gets them in. But looking at the teams, too, the Cowboys, we saw that Saints, that's a really good offense. Most teams are going to give up a lot of points in first downs. Not 40 of them, but 40, a lot of points to that Saints team. But, was that the same defense that we saw that shut down the Eagles and Nick Foles and, back in October? So it's tough to have much trust in that team. And probably the Giants, as we've seen so many times, Zach, and I know you covered them for a while, they get hot as the season progresses. And they've won 3 in a row now. And I don't think you can count them out.
I'll admit that a storyline I can't stand is this Eagles home losing streak. Because I think where you play is often inconsequential. It's how you play. But the reality is that the Eagles have lost 10 in a row there. And if you talk about these final 6 games, 4 of them are at home. So is there anything to the fact that they're not winning at home? And what do you think needs to be done to break that streak?
I don't think so. I mean, I tried to think of a story I could write about around it, and I just couldn't come up with any because I agree with you. I just don't think there's much there. They were a bad team last year.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think 2 of their 4 wins were at home. They just happened to come in September. So it just that has a lot to do with the streak. And this year they've had only 4 of their 6, 4 of their 10 games at home. So that's had a little bit to do with the streak. I think, Mark, I'll put it down in ink. They'll win a game, one of these next 3 games at home. and the streak, maybe it won't end this Sunday, but it'll end over these next 3 games, I think. And then we can just stop talking about it. Because I really don't see any, it's just they weren't a good team last year, and early on this year, they were still trying to find themselves. And, they could have easily won that San Diego game. So they could have won that Kansas City game too if they didn't have so many turnovers.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a big deal there. I'm sure fans want to see a winner, and I understand why it's starting to bug them. But they won at Lincoln Financial Field for years up until recently. So I don't think there's any underlying issue.
This is a final question. We look at this weekend, the opportunity for them to get their first winning record since I believe week 1, their opportunity to get that first win since last year. But it's a different Redskins team than they saw in week 1. Robert Griffin's healthier. Jordan Reed's a part of the offense. They are playing very well on the offensive side. The defense is struggling. How do you see this game matching up and what's the key to the victory?
Yeah, now you mention it, it'll probably be the latest in the season that they've had a winning record if they win Sunday since 2010. And they went to the playoffs that year, as we all know. So if they go 6-5, I think it's a big deal for this team, especially considering it's Chip's first year. He's already won as many games as Andy did in his first year with the Eagles. He's already won more games than they did last year. And this win, this is a big game. I mean, for this team at this point, and certainly in Chip's career, win. I think they move forward, and I don't see any reason why they don't win. I haven't gotten close to picking the game yet, Zach. Yeah. I don't know if you have. They're certainly leaning towards picking the Eagles because, as I mentioned earlier, this Redskins defense just scares me. If Christian Ponder is going to go out there and light you up. I mean, what's Nick Foles and LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson going to do? I know they have AP in Minnesota, but I think Foles is certainly better than Christian Ponder. And I think, with the weapons that he has at his disposal, they should be able to put up some points on them. And maybe RG3 is certainly playing better than he did in the first week, and I think Albert Morris is not going to get shut down like he was in that first week. But I think the Eagles win a shutout here because, number one, I think they can slow Morris, and I think they can slow that run game. I think they have confidence there right now. I do worry about what they can do in pass defense. I do worry about who's going to guard Pierre Garçon. He's playing very well of late. But I just keep looking at that Redskins defense, and I think the way the offense is playing right now, the way Chip has got the offense rolling, that they'll probably pull this one out.
That's Jeff McClain from the Philadelphia Inquirer. You can read, as I say each week, Eagles Insights every Friday. In my opinion, it's the best thing going in the Eagles coverage right now. He takes you inside the locker room. You can find all our coverage on Inquirer.com, Philly.com, on Bird's Eye View blog. Jeff, thanks as always for joining us.
All right, Zach. Thanks a lot.
That was Jeff McClain from Philadelphia Inquirer. Now you can hear from the Eagles head coach himself, Chip Kelly, who spoke to reporters on Wednesday and discussed a variety of topics, including the return situation, Deshaun Jackson, and more. Here's Chip Kelly.
I'm Brad Smith.
Well, let's not yell at each other.
Where do you see, how quickly can you get him on the field? What capacity do you see him being used?
A lot. You know, the one thing about Brad that stuck out to us was that he's an outstanding special teams player. So he can cover kickoffs. He's returned kickoffs. He's been on the punt team. He's been on the punt rush team. You know, so he's a four-core special teams player. And as we design this thing, we want our receivers. If you're not the starter, you know, you need to be able to play special teams. I think a prime example of that was Jeff Mail on Sunday. Jeff had two tackles and then had a penalty. You know, they really he's starting to come along as a team. So if you're up and you're on the 46-man active, you got to be able to go. And I think if all of a sudden Rock gets pushed into playing more snaps at corner, we need someone else to pick up some of that slack in a special team standpoint. So the fact that he has that versatility from he's not just a returner, he can play all four core special teams. He can also play receiver. He's played some emergency quarterback at times. He's played some running back at times. I think that versatility is a huge plus for him. You know, right. Where he fits in exactly this Sunday, I mean, we got him out here. He literally walked in the bubble yesterday. I shook his hand and told him to run down on the kickoff right away. I mean, I don't think he had a chance to stretch. So we'll see where he is, and then we'll make an educated decision as we get to Saturday of how much we can use him and can't use him.
At this point, are you primarily staying with Brandon Boyd getting kick returns to Deshaun?
Say that again.
At this point, are you primarily staying with Brandon
Boyd? No, we'll try. It depends on what's up and what's active in the 46, so it just depends on the situation in the game. If Damaris is up, then we'll alternate and use all those guys. And, you know, we're going to get a chance today to see Brad and see how he fits in as a returner. We also can use Bryce back there. So just, it really, there's not a set guy. It's a functioning situation.
Does Brad replace James Casey as the emergency quarterback?
No, I don't think we can put all that on his plate. I mean, he's got to come in here and learn four core special teams and what we're doing offensively. And then to now tell him he's got to learn multiple positions on offense. We're going to start him out at receiver. And then, you know, hopefully as the season goes along, maybe that's the case. But if we had to play today, that wouldn't be the case.
Deshaun, you seem like this offense had ups and downs early in the season. Do you feel like you guys, given the last couple of weeks, are kind of coming into your own a little bit, or starting to be on the same page?
Yeah, I think we're on the same page. I just don't think we executed in certain games this year. But it's what you do the next day. So you just can't say, hey, we started to execute, we're good. You know, we need to continue to grow as a group, and that's what those guys are doing. We're not going to rest on anything. We still got a ton of work to do. We left a lot of yards and points on the board on Sunday against the Green Bay that we need to continue to capitalize on. So I think we're getting better, but we're nowhere near where we need to be.
For a career year, what have you seen in terms of his approach that's allowed him to take off?
Well, I've seen the same thing since I got here in April. He was here every day in the offseason. I think he was here 30 out of 32 days in the offseason. Works extremely hard at practice. He's a very, very intelligent football player. I don't think he gets enough credit for that. He picks things up like that. He can sit there and just tell you it's coverage, it's this, it's this, it's this. They're playing me this way. He's leaning that way. If I do this, I mean, he's got a great football mind. So since I've been here, he's been an extremely hard worker. He's been out there almost every single day practicing, barring one or two, and has put in his time, whether it's in the weight room, whether it's in the classroom, or whether it's on the practice field. So he's been fantastic since we've been here. And what is happening on the field for him on Sunday is a byproduct of what he's doing since I've been here off the field. And I think he's doing a great job.
Chip Kelly's offense would not be what it is without running back LeSean McCoy, who leads the NFL in rushing and will likely eclipse 1,000 yards in Sunday's game against the Washington Redskins. Here's McCoy on the rushing title and a variety of other topics.
Are you keeping your eye on the rushing leaders and seeing where you stand?
I know
up
number one.
No, but like after Thursday night, you know, it was Peterson and Morris, then you took over.
I mean, the good thing is the linemen really keep track of all them things. From time to time, I'll glance at it and take a look at it, but I more look at the players. Probably if they're on TV, I'll watch them instead of going to ESPN.com and look at the stats. So it's just about winning games. I think that any back could tell you, it's cool to get the record or the rushing title, but to be doing it losing-wise, it's not the same. You know, when you're winning in a big game, yardage-wise, and you won, it's a way bigger deal than you lose, but you had 180 yards. Like, you were on the plane, but you lost. So it doesn't add up.
What kind of differences have you seen in Deshaun?
But it definitely matters, though.
What kind of differences have you seen in Deshaun this year?
I mean, he looks the same. He looks the same old Deshaun Jackson that us Philly players and fans are used to. Just fast, making big plays, and just being a headache for a defense. Deshaun's a talented player, which we all know. I think just his presence, I think his speed, to keep the defense aware of him at all times, and he's playing excellent.
I remarked to him yesterday that when he caught that ball that popped up from the two defensive backs, that it would not have occurred to me to then walk into the end zone backwards, but that, he's a showman. Watching that, what did you think? Were you surprised that he did that?
I mean, he scored a touchdown. You can do whatever you want.
Of course, but the presence of mind to do something like that in that instance. Expect you to do that?
Scoring a touchdown, you can do whatever you want to do. He's a big time player. He's in there quite a bit. So who knows? He might have rehearsed that. That's why he wanted to do it. I was worried about the touchdown more than just the celebration.
What does it mean to have Nick Foles step up the way he has?
It means a lot. It means a lot for this offense. Nick, where Mike left off, Nick is kind of following his path and his footsteps and making plays. So just to have two guys to come in and play like starters is big for us. A lot of teams, when their starter goes down, the offense goes down. In Philadelphia, that's not the case.
From a scheme standpoint, how different is this offense from the one the Redskins saw in week one, or is it pretty much the same?
For the most part, it's pretty much the same. I think Mike just adds another dimension as far as running the ball, where now some of the reads, they just, let's just try to get McCoy and let Nick run. Where Mike, it's either me or Mike. So it's a difference. You got to account for Mike's arm and his legs.
Sean, some of your teammates have talked this week publicly about desperately needing to win at home and get rid of that losing streak. Do you guys talk about that amongst yourselves, each other? Is that a rallying cry this week?
No, we don't. As a team, we don't really talk about it. We just go out and just want to play the game and win some games. I wish I had the answer to tell you why we can't win at home. But I think this week, it's the same preparation as we had last week. So hopefully it's the same results in the game.
How much is it possible, guys, that it hasn't happened in over a year?
Yeah, that's tough, man, just knowing that. But then again, I don't have the answer for that. We got to find a way to get it done. I think it's only right that the fans, if they pay their hard-earned money, to watch us play. They see that type of efforts in away games from the television. They want to see the same efforts at home.
On the other side of the ball, the Eagles' defensive leader is D'Amico Ryans, who the team acquired in March 2012. And he had a solid first season in Philadelphia in 2012, but he's really played at a high level in 2013. It's a reminder of when he was a Pro Bowler in Houston before he suffered a ruptured Achilles tendon in 2010. D'Amico Ryans spoke to reporters on Wednesday about playing at a Pro Bowl level, about the trade from Houston, and more. Here you can hear from D'Amico Ryans.
D'Amico, how much does it mean to you to, I talked to you yesterday about what Bill Davis said about you having a Pro Bowl year. saying when the Eagles went to a 3-4 that you weren't effective in the 3-4 in Houston. How much does it mean to you to prove that to be wrong?
Well, I wasn't trying to prove anything, but I know it was just speculation, and you know, I know Houston made some moves. To, you know, they had other players. You know, Cushion was playing well, and they were going to make Cushion their guy. So it wasn't that I couldn't play in the 3-4. I played well in 3-4. And just coming here, it's great to hear Coach Davis say that about me, and it's great to just be back playing at a high level, at a Pro Bowl level. And that's what I strive for every year, and to do that. Now coming off my injury a couple years ago, it's good to be back in there.
Is this the level you played at when you were in Houston, when you were, the All-Pro middle linebacker?
Oh yeah, this is the level I was playing at, and it's like I said, it's fun to be back at that level, being able to make plays, and it's not just me, beat my chest and making plays by myself. It all starts with the guys in front of me.
Billy Davis said he's given you some more leeway to make the calls at the line of scrimmage. Can you explain exactly what he meant and when that kind of started this year?
Oh, well, I just have the discretion to make different checks and get us in the right defense. Like a quarterback, gets the offense in the right play, a play that's favorable to them. I have the leeway to put our defense in a favorable position for us.
How much were you guys thrown in earlier this season? Bill Davis said, trust me. How much did you guys trust him that you would be able to turn this around, which you guys have, the way you played the last six games?
Yeah, everybody brought in to the system early, and it was just a matter of continuing to do the same things and get better at what we were doing. It was new to all of us, so all of us were trying to, kind of find our way. And now I feel like everybody is comfortable with what we're doing. Everybody knows their role, and guys are able to play fast, play within their techniques, and you see us start to make more plays.
How much more is thrown into your lap if Michael is out, when other guys, you've got a lot of Rock is in? How much more comes on you, whether it's self-inflicted?
Nothing more comes on me. Yeah, it's next man up. The next man steps in. It's no added pressure on me or, added weight on my shoulder when a guy goes down. It's just the next man has to step in and do his job to the best of his ability.
With the exception of the San Diego game, you guys have had some success against tight ends this year. Why is that? And also, what have you seen from Jordan Reed this season?
Oh, well, I think our success versus the tight ends starts with Michael Kendricks and Najee Lashley. Those guys do a good job of covering tight ends man-to-man. That allows us to play man-to-man coverage when our linebackers can line up and cover tight ends man-to-man.
How about
Trevor? He's another guy who's gonna, of course he adds some dual threats to their offense, give them a little more versatility, but again, it's a guy we're going in focusing on their running game first and foremost, not much more so about the tight end. When it comes time to locking down in coverage, we don't have to do that.
What's the identity of this defense now? At the beginning of the season, Bill said, the defense you see now is not going to be the defense you see down the road. What's the identity?
I mean, identity is what you all see. I mean, what do you say when you see the defense? I see our defense as attacking, attacking defense, fast, flying around, creating turnover. But, that's up to what other people, say about our defense.
I don't mean to keep harping on the Houston trade, but when a contending team trades their defensive captain, the outside perception is that this guy's lost a step or he's not the same player he once was. Did you ever have any doubts at that point that you'd still play at that level?
No, I never had any doubts. I know I was coming back off injury. I knew I still had work to put in to get back where I wanted to be, but I never had a doubt in my mind that I couldn't get back to this level.
The job that Najee Coop did Sunday, if he has to start again in place of Kendricks or anything, what did you kind of learn about him from watching the game?
You just learned that you never know how well a guy prepares throughout the week when they're not getting the reps and they're not in there on the film watching themselves so they actually get a chance to get into the game. And Najee was thrown into the game early, and it just showed that he had prepared all throughout the week just as if he was a starter. And it just shows he's a smart player, athletic guy. He stepped in and he shot some gaps and made a lot of plays for us.
In the last 2 weeks, RG3 wasn't fully healthy when you guys played in the first time around. What do you expect to be different Sunday?
We see more design runs for him. We see him, you know, getting out of the pocket more, being able to create more plays, running the ball, and throwing outside the pocket with the bootleg passes and things of that nature. But, you know, he's still has a big arm. He's still capable of beat you throwing and running the ball. So it's definitely a big task for us this week.
At what point did you feel like you were physically all the way back from that injury?
I was good last year. I felt really good last year.
Benny Logan playing more reps these last 2 weeks. What have you seen from him, and is he much different from earlier in the season?
Benny falls to the category just with all of us on the defense. You can name any guy on the defense. Guys just consistently have gotten better with the technique and the things that they've been asked to do. So Benny falls to the category. He's doing a good job of, you know, making plays in the middle. He's an athletic guy who's playing on that nose, but he still has that ability to, you know, run a guy down on a line of scrimmage to be able to make plays in the back.
The last two games, Albert Morris has gone over 100 yards rushing. I mean, do you think a lot of that is because RG3 is kind of more mobile than he was early in the season? What kind of things can you guys do?
Yeah, RG3, he opens the offense up, you know, for the running game when he's able to. And guys are, you're so focused on RG3, but we have to know that, you know, Morris is the load of the offense. So our focus is first and foremost stopping Morris. We can't let him get going. And then, you know, when whoever is assigned to stop RG3 at that time, they have to be on that.
That was D'Amico Ryans, and it also completes the Week 11 edition of the Bird's Eye View podcast. The Eagles are on bye next week. It'll be interesting to see how they go into the bye. If they go in 6-5 with a division lead, or 5-6, with questions about how they would finish the remainder of the season. There's a lot more left to discuss. You can find it all in the Philadelphia Inquirer, on Bird's Eye View blog, on Inquirer.com, on Philly.com, and, of course, on the Bird's Eye View podcast leading up to each game. For the Inquirer, I'm Zach Berman. Thanks for listening.